Our Bible reading this evening is the Ephesian Epistle, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration, says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God in as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. And may the Lord bless to us and grant us each one an understanding of Holy Scripture. Amen. Now, our theme continues to be that of headship, and we have begun now to consider that glorious and spiritual truth of the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ over his people, the church. And we find that this truth is emphasized and borne out for us in numerous parts of Holy Scripture, but particularly in the Ephesian and Colossian epistles, where we turned for our instruction last week. And we saw there in both portions of the Word of God that Christ's universal headship and also Christ's particular headship of the church are spoken of. We are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, being the second person of the Godhead, is preeminent and is supreme over all, and that this position of exaltation and glorification over all things is peculiar unto himself, and is special unto him, and is a dominion and sovereignty over all things, quite literally without exception, as the scriptures themselves make clear. There is nothing which is not put under him, the scriptures tell us. Nevertheless, there remains a very particular way in which the Lord Jesus is head over the church. And this is something spoken of separately from that universal state of headship and dominion. And we dwelt upon the consequences of these things and found that the scriptures describe it in these terms. Christ's headship over all things is one which makes all created things, as it were, his footstool, and everything else is described as being beneath his feet. And yet, his headship over his people, the church, is described in terms of relationship between the head and the body of the same being, of the same person. And this, fellow Christians, places us in a position of most remarkable honor also. For whilst the rest of created things are, as it were, beneath the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we comprise a part of his body over which he is the head. And thus we are raised to that same position of honor and exaltation as he himself occupies and will ultimately occupy. This evening, then, with the Lord's help, I should like us to look still further into the consequences and the effects of the Church of God, Christians collectively, comprising the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and having him as head, and what that means, and what the effects of it are. Now, still at this point, I must say we are speaking about the church in its entirety. We are speaking about all the people of God. We shall come, God willing, at a future sermon to speak of local assemblies and gatherings of the Lord's people. But our theme this evening continues to be with the church as a whole, which incorporates and encompasses every true believer, every true child of God, wheresoever and whensoever they may have lived or will yet live, in whatsoever condition or state they may have been. And as We have remarked already in prayer tonight, whilst the experience of some of the Lord's people has been to be gathered together into churches and assemblies of his saints, it is not always the case. And a vast number of believers have been Christians in isolation, have been Christians perhaps in secret, have been Christians in lands and at times when corporate worship or assemblings together have been impossible to contemplate, much less to enjoy. But nevertheless, all these things that we shall say concerning the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ over the entirety of his church apply to every believer in whatever condition. And we will not stray far from the Ephesian and Colossian epistles for our instruction upon this point, where the metaphor or the analogy of a body having its head and having its various and several parts or limbs or members is used for our instruction and is developed upon by the Holy Spirit. So let us consider then what it means for Christians to have the Lord Jesus as their head and to comprise a part of his body. And one of the first effects and consequences of it, which Ephesians makes clear, is a transformative effect, is one of change effected upon individuals, individual believers. And you see here in Ephesians 4, having opened up this theme of the Lord Jesus Christ as the head of his people, who are his body, the church, the apostle makes this application in verses 17 and following in Ephesians 4. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, having being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That ye put off, verse 22, the old man, and that ye put on, verse 24, the new man. Now, here are words which we may apply to the individual experiences of Christians, but which still speak of our collective belonging unto Christ as his body. Being part of the body of Christ means a change is effected, means that there is a transformation, there is a conversion from what we were by sin and nature, from what we were individually in our former and unconverted state, and what we are made now. And you know, my friends, there are a few limited examples of this within nature. You are perhaps aware of certain organisms which originally exist as a great diversity of individual organisms, but which combine together to form a macro organism, a colony organism, as they are sometimes called. There are certain species of jellyfish which are like this. There are other microscopic creatures which are of the same kind. And to begin with, they are all individual and separate organisms, but at a point in the life cycle of that creature, those individual parts are brought together and they begin to function as one and as something very different and invariably much larger than they were before. And their behavior and their lifestyle, if we may so call it that, as they had when they were these individual organisms, is entirely and radically changed, because they are henceforth made part of something much greater and much larger. And this, my friends, is the situation for the true people of God. Being saved, being brought into this state as a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ has a transformative effect, and effects this very great change upon us. Our former conduct, our former way of life, will suffice no longer, and is entirely incompatible with that which we are henceforth called to be. We cannot walk any longer as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of our own minds, living for self and unto self, and following the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That behavior might have sufficed for ourselves as unbelievers, when our understanding was darkened, when we were alienated from the life of God. But you see, that state of separation, that state of distance exists no longer. We are not an alien species in that sense anymore. We are not a foreign body anymore. But we are incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the place of darkened understandings and blind hearts, we are told in verse 13 of this same passage that we have been brought to the knowledge of the Son of God. We have learned Christ, says verse 20. We have heard the gospel concerning him and the truth concerning him. It has been taught us, it has been writ upon our hearts, as the truth is in Jesus. And in consequence, we put off the former conversation, the manner of life, the way of our existence, the old man, ourselves, are brought to an end, are to be mortified, whilst we are being renewed, and we are putting on the new man. We are being fashioned into that body of Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this is the first and most immediate consequence or effect of our being part of the body of Christ. There is to be this change. There is to be this alteration, this shift from that which we were by nature when we were only concerned with ourselves. We put off that old man. We become part of this new man. Well, here is another effect and consequence of us being made a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this concerns our relationship with God and our proximity to God. Think, my friends, of the relation which exists between God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of this. Individual Christians are now comprised and form part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen how the inspired Apostle Paul develops his theme in Colossians chapter 1. He, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see, it was ever the divine purpose and plan of God that the Lord Jesus Christ should be exalted and should be the head of his body, the church. And one of the consequences of God doing that for individual Christians is this, that we are reconciled unto himself by Christ. We, who were sometime alienated, separate entities, individual organisms, at great distance from God, sometime alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet even such as us are reconciled unto God, are brought nigh unto God, by virtue of being comprised and constituted into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The effect is this, that we are reconciled unto God. Now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh the Lord Jesus Christ is one with God, and we are made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the obvious consequence or implication of this is that henceforth we are reconciled unto God also. Well, let us examine further what are the effects and consequences of we as Christians comprising a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shall just read two verses, one from Ephesians 4 and another from Colossians chapter 2, which are expressing much the same truth. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 4, we read as follows in verse 16. We have been told in verse 15 of the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And a corresponding verse in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19 speaks of the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And both these verses, let me suggest to you, are expressing much the same truth. They are listing for us the consequences and the effects of our being constituted into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you can tell from the language of those verses and from the amount which is packed into them, if we may reverently so say it, the consequences and effects are many and numerous and are delightful for us to consider. Now, one of the consequences then of our being united to Christ and made part of his body is this, that we will be fitly framed together. Or to use some of the other language here, fitly joined together in Ephesians 4, verse 16, knit together in Colossians chapter 2. There is this framing, so to speak. There is this organization, there is this arrangement of parts which God does. And this is worthy of our consideration, my friends. You see, every child of God, every Christian has their place, has their purpose, has their function in the divine purposes of God. Every one of them. And my friends, the number of true saints of God throughout time and history and throughout the world today and the variety and diversity of their situations are beyond us rightly to comprehend. And yet every one of those Christians, every true believer has been placed by God, has been arranged, so to speak, in exactly the place where they are supposed to be. And as we look through the scriptures, we can find so many different examples and cases. Christians in the most extreme and extraordinary of conditions who perhaps in their darker or more doubtful moments might have thought of themselves as being in a complete state of isolation or in some sort of extremity. And yet God placed and arranged them there. You see, this is a fundamental feature of a body. Its parts are all in their respective places. They are all designed, framed, drawn out into their proper and right locations. And you see, there is this power on the part of God in respect of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the dying thief upon a cross on Calvary, saved within a few hours of dying after a life of violence and crime and insurrection and so on. And perhaps as he came to a dawning realization of the truth concerning this character alongside him upon Calvary's hill, he could think to himself, well, if I am a believer in these things, then surely I'm a believer in the most extraordinary of circumstances. Saved in the throes of death, I'm going to live my entire Christian life transfixed upon a gibbet. And yet you see, my friends, how that individual Christian was fitly framed. He was positioned in exactly the right place. His conversion occurred at exactly the right moment, and he served so wondrous a function in the great plan and purpose of God, which he himself could perhaps never have dreamed of or imagined in the pain and suffering which he endured. And yet so it was. He was fitly framed, placed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, just the right location, exactly the right time, having a service to render and a duty to fulfill, though he scarce comprehended it himself. And it has been the same for every Christian, and it will ever prove to be the case for every true child of God. And who can tell? Who can tell how many other like cases there are? Persons who are saved in the most isolated and remote of places, in countries as hostile to Christianity as it is possible for them to be, and perhaps their faith scarcely ever became known to another living soul. Perhaps they were saved with a relatively short life ahead of them. Perhaps they were saved in most isolated and unknown of circumstances. It matters not. There is no accident about it. There is nothing, as it were, left to chance. God arranges and organizes and appoints the place and the position of everyone, all fitly framed together. And the same is true of each one of us, fellow Christian, here this evening. Perhaps we reflect upon our own Christian lives, the circumstances of our own conversions, the course which we have had through the Christian life since then. And we think that given the choice, given the chance to appoint it ourselves or to decree it ourselves, we would have done it so very differently. And we would have preferred perhaps to be Christians at a different time in history, at a different place, with a different role to fulfill and a different life to lead. But you see, there is a perfection to God's design. And you and I and every one of the saints of God are fitly framed within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then both these verses in Ephesians and Colossians describe another feature of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is every individual component fitly framed, fitly joined, put in exactly its right position, but all these individual components, so to speak, are connected together, are joined together. And you notice how that these verses, or at least Ephesians 4 verse 16, speaks of joints between the parts. And we should perhaps not think of this as joints in the sense of a skeleton or joints in bones, because in some ways those are the parts where bones are separate the one from another and need something in between them. But we could understand this as being the various systems that connect all the parts of a body together, as the circulatory system or the respiratory system or the lymph system and so on. And those who know more anatomy than me could perhaps expand upon that list. These networks which exist within the body, the nervous system as well, for example, which couple all the individual components together. And you see, this exists as well amongst the true people of God, amongst the Christians of every age and every place. There is this connectivity between them. And whilst we do not wish to mix biblical metaphors unnecessarily, because it is the metaphor of the body which is before us here in Ephesians and Colossians, yet nevertheless there is a similarity here in John chapter 15, where the image now is one of a vine. And similarly, of course, a vine is a plant of this kind that has its many branches and stems and tendrils and so forth going off in each and every direction with leaves and clusters of grapes and so forth in every part of the plant. And yet there is this network of connectivity between every part. And so it is with the people of God, even as it is with the various organs and component parts of a body. And this is the consequence of our having Christ as our head and we being made a part of his body, that there are these connections made. And these connections exist. They are invisible, perhaps. We cannot always perceive them or think of them ourselves, and yet they are there, unmistakably there. Connections between individual Christians, of course. And perhaps in our own experiences we can look back at the way in which we were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and other Christians whom the Lord used in that and brought into our path and brought into our way and who were used and to whom we subsequently have this connection. And who can tell how many others we have been caused to come into contact with or whom our lives have touched upon and are part of this God-ordained network which he has appointed, which is a feature of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, even for Christians, as we say, in the most isolated or remote of circumstances, still these connections exist. Still there is this jointing between them. Still there are these links fashioned of a spiritual kind. There is a common faith. There is a common salvation. There are these common experiences for all the true people of God, connected by conviction of sin, connected by the same experience of the grace of God in salvation, connected by the necessity of faith in the lives of every one of us, connected by these things which the apostle lists in the commencement of Ephesians chapter 4, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. These are the vital connections. These are the things which link and combine the true people of God together in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, my friends, these connections are not merely there of necessity. They are not merely there by coincidence. They serve a vital function. And we know this. Within the organism of a body, the circulatory system is essential for delivering oxygen and nutrients to every part of the body, the nervous system for controlling the function and operation of every part and for harmonizing it together and connecting it to the brain and so on. And so we see here in Ephesians 4:16, we are told of that which every joint, which every connection supplieth. In Colossians 2, we are told by these joints and bands by which nourishment is ministered. Nourishment is ministered. What a thought. What a thought. These connections which the Lord has caused to exist between ourselves and preeminently between ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ are there in order that nourishment may be ministered by them. To again quote John chapter 15, a similar and yet a different analogy, the Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You see, that language is almost directly transferable to this metaphor of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rely upon these connections. We are utterly dependent upon these points of linkage to the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the head, because it is by these connections that nourishment is ministered, that which is to the edification and to the sustenance of our souls is supplied. And there is no individual Christian, howsoever isolated or remote, who is lacking these things, because they are brought into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by virtue of that, these joints, these bands exist, and by them nourishment is ministered unto the soul. Now, of course, as in the body, as each individual organ or part of the body is connected properly to the circulatory system or to the nervous system and so forth, so this ensures that it functions correctly. And so it proves for individual Christians. So it proves for each child of God, each believer. Look at how those verses go on and look at what else they include. We are told here of the body, which is fitly framed or fitly jointed together. It has these connections by which supply is given. And the consequence of that, Ephesians 4:16 goes on to describe, is the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working of each part. And you see, my friends, here is another vital truth concerning our Christian lives and experience. If we are to work effectually, if we are to do that which God designs and decrees for us, it is not going to be done in our own strength. It is not going to be done as a solo operation. It is not going to be achieved by ourselves in independence, relying upon our own selves and our own abilities or accomplishments as we may imagine them to be. The effectual working of each and every part of the body of Christ comes about by that which the joints and bands supplies, arises from that nourishment which is ministered to us from the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we desire to be obedient Christians and functioning Christians and functional Christians, then this is how it comes about. This is how we are to work effectually, by that which is supplied to us through these joints and bands from the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in me, and I in you, thereby shall ye bear much fruit, is the corresponding truth of John chapter 15. If we desire to be fruitful, it is not going to come about by the amount of effort that we think we are able to put in by our own devices or by our own strength or by means or at our disposal. It is in measure that we realize our dependency and need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in measure that we are connected unto him and cast upon him and relying entirely upon him and seeking to have that which he will give and he will supply unto us. That is where this effectual working comes from. Well, as it is in a body, so too in the amongst the true people of God. There are these individual parts fitly framed together. They are connected the one to another by joints and bands and these networks of which we have spoken. By these things, nourishment is ministered. Relying upon that nourishment, they work effectually. And also, they grow. They grow. They become larger, they become stronger, they develop as they should. There is that which is being supplied by the joints, says Ephesians 4, verse 16. It results in the effectual working of every part. which then goes on to make increase of the body as itself is edified. As Colossians expresses it, the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And this is what there will prove to be in the lives of Christians who by grace are incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be growth. There will be development. There will be a going on with the Lord. And you see, this comes about not by our own strength, not by our own skill, not by our own accomplishments, but by virtue of being a part of this body, in consequence of being connected unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to increase with the increase of self. We are not merely to increase with the increase of experience or the increase of age. We are to be increased with the increase of God, you see. It is a divinely imparted growth. It is a growth in godliness. It is a growth instigated and enabled by God. And my friends, another consequence then of this growth, of this increase, which arises within the body in all the individual component and constituent parts of the body, is this stability. Stability. That we henceforth, says the apostle in Ephesians 4 verse 14, speaking of this edifying of the body, this increase of the body, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Consequence of being in the body are these joints, these networks between us. Through these nourishment is ministered. Thus we begin effectually working. And effectually working, we increase with the increase of God. And in consequence of that growth, we are not as children. We are not as juveniles of the species, which are forever in peril or hazarded or maybe knocked this way and that by external forces or blown hither and thither by the wind. But being incorporated into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be increased with the increase of God grants us this happy consequence that we are rendered more stable and that we have a steadfastness and a permanence in the aspects of the Christian life which are ours. But in conclusion, my friends, let me say this, that these transformations effected upon us, these connections made between ourselves and the head, the effectual working which it enables us to have, the increase which is seen, the stability which is afforded, is all designed to tend in one direction and has one end in object in view. And it is this, that we may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, that we might come, as Ephesians 4 verse 13 says, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That is to say, that we might grow into the state and condition that we ought to be, that we might attain to that degree of completion and perfection. And what is that? What is that end in view? What is the end goal and object in these things? That we might come, my friends, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ, you see, is the goal. Christ is the object, the design of God in these things, and the reason that we have been incorporated into the body of Christ and supplied by and from him the head in order that we might function and increase and grow is that we may grow like him, that we may be made like him, that we may become so much more and more a part with him and be united unto him as to be indistinguishable and indiscernible and inseparable from him, that we might be conformed, as the Roman epistle has it, unto the image of God's dear Son, that we, the followers of God, as dear children, may walk as Christ walked, may love as Christ loved, may behave as Christ behaved, may attain unto the measure of the stature of his fullness. My friends, this is the end in view. This is what is appointed for us. This is the reason why we have been made part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might present us spotless and unblameable, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we should be made entirely one with and entirely like unto himself. For he it is who ultimately will change us and transform us to such a degree that we will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, my friends, that we may be brought to a greater understanding and enjoyment of our place as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that these glorious effects and consequences might be known by each one of us. God grant it. Amen. Amen. And now our concluding hymn is number 611. 611, O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. My heart be daily nearer thee, from sin be daily freed. Make this poor self grow less and less. Be thou my life and aim. Oh, make me daily through thy grace more meet to bear thy name. The hymn 611.
Oh.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. Amen.